Tell you what, I'm trying to, people who know this experience of the monastery, I'm trying to get a text to go out, so I'm trying to stand in just the right spot. So I'm going to send, I'm going to give Alex the phone to take roll and write down who's here. So hang on.
Okay, I'm ready.
Alex Marie's here. I don't know if I'm on the list yet or not.
I have no one on the list, so you are now the first.
Okay.
Rebecca.
Okay.
Penny.
Me.
Bob.
Bob.
Brian.
Brian.
Okay.
Dave. Who's that?
Claire on another phone. I'm Michael.
Oh, Claire. Michael. Okay. All right. I guess that's it.
All right. Cool. I'm really excited that we're finally doing this. We've been threatening for quite a while, so this is exciting. So I'll tell you what I was thinking we would do, which is that to start by posing a question, which would be something along the lines of, what are the organizational quandaries you find yourself in? So what are your biggest organizational challenges? We'd each take a few minutes to write about that, see what we see about it, then have each person go around and just say what those things are for them. And then as people are listening, to be jotting down things that occur to you, I'm guessing that that we're going to all relate to pretty much all of them, and that what I'm hoping is that that people will get sparked in seeing things, systems that they've created for themselves over time that have really worked. So as you're listening to what, you know, as you're listening to people's biggest challenges, jotting down what you know in your experience are some systems you've put in place for yourself that have really worked, and then to share those. And then we can go on to sharing any others that people are seeing that haven't been sparked by any of that and just go from there. That seem like a good plan to people?
Sure.
Hang on. Michael has something.
So we're sharing our difficulties, yeah. And then as people are talking, sharing what like the antidotes, if we have something to...
Exactly. So it's kind of a two-part thing where I'll give people a minute to consider what are their difficulties, what are their challenges in organizing. We'll jot those down, and then everyone will go around and just briefly read what they've got. So it won't be a long explaining this and that. It'll just be briefly saying what your thing is. And so that will give us all a sense of what are the challenges that are out there. And then as we're listening to each other's challenges, we can be looking at what are some tips we want to share that speak to those challenges. All right. So let's take a few minutes to jot down what our challenges are. looking like people in this room are nearing the end. Other people out there need more time?
Not me.
Nope.
I think I'm good.
Okay. Good. So who'd like to start us off?
I'd go.
Great.
So let's see. Balancing what is on my list with what is showing up on any particular day. So I have a list of things and have to do and then stuff to start showing up that day and trying to figure out how to fit those in. Maintaining a practice of attaching due dates to my list items.
Attaching due dates, okay.
Yeah.
And anyone at any point, if you need someone to slow down because you're, you know, you want to remember like, oh, yeah, that's a challenge for me and I have a thought about that, you know, taking notes about it, then just holler to me and we can have someone repeat something or like that.
And the next two are, I feel like I'm starting to have a better sense of how to work on them, but one is focusing on what I'm particularly excited about rather than what the greater group goal is. And then the last one is, let's see, every once in a while, so I have a system for how I, you know, maintain my list of things to do, and every once in a while I'll break my system by capturing whatever I need to do outside of my system and not transferring it over.
Did people get that? Okay, you want to say that again, Bob?
Sure. So I have a system of the, like a place where I capture all the things that I'm responsible for, weekly tasks or things I need to do. And every once in a while, I'll record something I need to do, but not in my system, and it won't get transferred over.
Yep. Okay.
Those are mine.
I'm going to make some notes to myself.
Bob, I didn't understand if the one where you said when you focus on what you're excited about rather than the what the group's focus is that a problem or a, I didn't understand, a challenge?
Well, it's one of those ones I feel like I've gotten a handle on. I'm seeing it, but, you know, rather than getting caught in it. But, you know, I have at times, there's just a particular project that I'm having fun working on, but it isn't really the goal, you know, like one of the top goals of what we're all working on. So
Got
my
it.
Energy needs to be elsewhere.
All right, great. Thanks, Bob.
I'll go next. This is Penny.
Okay. Yeah, Penny.
Keeping track of many disparate pieces. I have lots of different places where I have things to do, and they don't, they're sort of in different realms and different worlds, and so trying to just keep track of all the different worlds is
mm-hmm.
a additional challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is, there are some sort of large-scale, big-picture, long-term goals, and how to keep those moving
mm-hmm.
when there are more immediate things that need doing.
Yep.
And then the third thing is working what I will do, you know, working out kind of a schedule, and then life intervenes. You know,
uh-huh.
cat has to go to the vet or
right.
something like that.
Okay. Okay, cool. Yeah, I can, yep. Yeah, I can see these are all things we all share. Yep. Great, thanks.
This is Marie.
Okay, Marie.
Okay. I wanted to jump in before everybody says mine a bunch of
times. Yours.
But I was just kind of trying to look at the biggest challenges, and what's in my face right now is kind of times like right now when there's just a whole lot of things coming in
uh-huh.
and systems start to kind of break down.
Uh-huh.
And an aspect of that for me is my inbox in
yep.
my email.
Yep.
Because right now it feels a little my inbox feels a little scary because usually I've flagged everything I need to come back to, and it feels a little uncertain right now. And so it's just a matter of, you know, to maintain the systems during these really busy times.
Yeah. Okay.
This is Rebecca. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So email management is a big thing of mine, too. So nesting emails sometimes trip me up, not knowing when to delete and when to save, and just, you know, too many. So a way to save relevant information that I'm going to need in the future without overwhelming my inbox. Number two, a system for prompting me to remember to do things when Outlook, calendar, and various spreadsheets aren't enough. And number three, making space for creativity and initiative when it keeps getting squashed because I just don't want to have one more thing to keep track of what I wrote it down on. You know, like not a system for ways to let those surface and go somewhere.
Is that it, Rebecca? This is Sequoia. Well, loose pieces of paper are an organizational challenge for me. And that just ties into, you know, not knowing what to do with them. Often it's the same as the email thing and moving them around. And, you know, then they just reappear and they get moved again. Knowing how to prioritize things. And a lot of this, I guess, is process, but, you know, just going into saying, I'll remember that, instead of taking the time to actually put it someplace that will help me remember it. And then just having this aversion to not wanting to, you know, look at the calendar, not wanting to go to the appointment book. I don't want to have to look at that again. A lot. I don't have time to do this. It gets in the way of organization and just believing that voice and you know, glossing over what would help to organize me. And lastly, you know, not taking time to appreciate the things that I am doing, the organizational skills that I do have and what is being organized, just not taking time to appreciate that.
This is Amy.
Oh.
the challenges that I've noticed I have are I don't have separate places for writing different types of things. And so then it's challenging to go back to find something that I've written down. And I actually had an idea about that. I've had my eye on Cameron's three-ring binder with all the divided sections, and I'm thinking that would be helpful to have a section for Best Year Yet, a section for team meeting, a section for Africa tickets where I could just write things, and it's in a specific place. Also, I have a tendency for papers and notes and things to gather, and then and sometimes for a reason and sometimes not. I find myself having to go through and kind of clean house periodically, and the same with Word documents and work plans and stuff that tend to accumulate.
This is Melinda, and I could say yes to all of the above. And for me, I think the biggest challenge is the tendency to get distracted and or scattered and really easily lose focus unless there's just a couple of very specific things to do. And part of that, I think, is I also see what I heard Bob saying, only the way I'd frame it is I play favorites. And so the job that I really want to do might get
put up in the priorities above the job that I think is tedious, or I don't know how to do it, so I don't want to do it, which is another organizational thing. And I can obsess over a system for writing things down. I know that I have to write things down, but I haven't yet in all these years found the perfect notebook. And I believe that I will someday. And so I wind up carrying different sizes of notebooks and putting different notes in them and then having lots of notes in different little notebooks. And needless to say, things get lost. So those are some of the challenges.
This is Claire. Can you hear me?
Claire? Yep. Yeah. It's just what's tricky, and maybe people in this room can help me with it, is when someone else has the phone and they don't respond to the person who's, then the person feels like they're just out there. So maybe whoever has the phone could just say to the person who's out there in phone land, yep, we hear you.
Thank you.
So we hear you, Claire.
Thank you. So for me, when I go to my inbox and there's tens of emails in there, I notice that sometimes I try and prioritize what's important, and I'll like open them up and try and see what's important, and some things that aren't so important, I'll think, oh, I'll come back to that later, and then I don't. Keeping track.
A lot of nods in this room.
Yeah. Keeping track of the hours spent on certain projects is a challenge for me. Keeping my desk tidy is a challenge for me too. My own activities tend to not keep my desk tidy, and also other people in the house are after my desk. I have things on my to-do list that are on the category of when I have time to do them, and I just never have time to do them. And I think the others that are on my list have already been addressed by other people. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Cameron. And this is really just wonderful. I'm just surprised to hear all these same things that I think I'm the only one who deals with. So one of the things for me is that everything in our organization moves so fast and changes so often that just about the time I get an organizational thing in place, it doesn't fit what we're doing anymore, so I have to rethink it and get a new system. It's kind of fun, though, too, in a way. Communication seems challenging, so in the organizational sense, that if I present something that needs some kind of a response and it doesn't come right away, then it kind of just falls into some kind of cloud area where it's hard to remember that it's there. So, you know, how to keep track of issues that haven't been dealt with and have been on hold for a long time. And the other thing that I think influences my many things that I heard are so those loose pieces of paper really struck a chord. And keeping too many pieces of information and not throwing them out. You know, somebody said when to delete and when to keep, that's an issue for me. And I keep feeling like I'm running as fast as I can and not getting anywhere near keeping up with the pace of the crowd. So this wanting to participate, wanting to contribute, and finding it difficult to keep up with the emails and the all of the different kinds of ways that we interact. So that's some of the ones I wrote.
This is Michael.
Yep.
Yeah, I can relate to everything. Having information in more than one location. So I have Word document with some stuff, and then I have a Google document with some stuff, and then there's another application on the computer I use. So that's a challenge of knowing where information is. The other thing I notice sometimes is that there are so many things to do on the list and not being clear about what the highest priority is.
This is Michael. And one of the things for me is the loose slips of paper thing. And my version of that is that I have check like a daily checklist, and then I have like a a couple reminders going, and so these things need to be in my awareness, I think. Well, I find it helpful to have them in my awareness, and there doesn't seem to be one place where they can all stick, so there's like a few pieces of paper, and just like three of them on my desk means that every once in a while I have to check all three of them. So it's like, did I see that one? Did I see that? And the way things are, they get, there's kind of nowhere for them to be, so then they get mixed in with other things that aren't like the things that always need to be there. So now I have to go through them again to see which ones I need to look at now, because I can't tell, you know, is that the thing that I already checked this morning and I don't need to have anymore, like that. And so it's like this, it's like, in a way, it's like a black hole. So that's one thing. And yeah, I think that's it.
This is Jen. So yeah, everything everyone has said. And then some of it's just plain self-talk, you know. But one of the things for me is that, so any one thing I have to do right now is going to take more time than I have to do it, and there's billions of them. So it's kind of this deer in a headlights kind of place of like, just stand there. And then a big one for me is when, I heard this in what other people were saying too, when there isn't clarity on what to do with something. Mm-hmm. So, for example, there are emails in my inbox that have been there for God knows how long because it could be interesting. You know, like this happens a lot with ideas for Africa that people send through. And it's like, huh. And so it just kind of sits there. So what to do with those and not have them clutter up the space. Perfectionism is huge for me. I could really relate to the thing of like, well, this isn't quite the system I want to follow, so let me just, so I don't really commit to anything because it's not quite it. And where to file things when not sure where they go. Oh, yeah, like Word documents. So I create a Word document on such and such. I'm not sure. So it just goes on my desktop, and I don't do that anymore because I have this new computer, and I love the desktop. So now I have just this other place I hide it. Slightly not the desktop, but the same version of it. That was it.
This is Alex. I'm completely organized. I have nothing that I can contribute to this. let's see. categories of things. Trying to figure out where something goes. I think people have been talking about that in general. It's like, where does this go? Don't know where this goes. It just ends up floating in outer space. Let's see, creating new systems rather than following the ones I set up. let's see, spending time on lists rather than working on the things that are on them. And I could totally relate to the time-sensitive, non-time-sensitive thing. It's I think it's the integrating all of the different pieces of paper together into one place and finding the moments to do that. It's kind of like cleaning up a place. You know, you live in a place for a little while, and then you have a moment, and you can just start putting things back where they belong. I feel like that's helpful when that's available. So that's what I've noticed.
This is Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, a couple things I thought of. One is how to remember who needs what information,
mm-hmm.
which is a part of my organizational system.
Yep.
And because it's hard sometimes to keep the big picture about who needs to know what and make sure everybody has the information they need. And then another thing that came up, similar to what folks were talking about, my own version of sort of, I guess you'd call it listening to the voices, is deprioritizing things that either I feel like I'm not good at or that are kind of not in keeping with my karma. So, like, I'll notice myself deprioritizing things that involve a lot of conversation and coordinating with people.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not, you know, that's not what my karmic tendency is to do. And to prioritize things that are more solitary.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, if there's things that I just don't feel like I'm good at, or like Jen was saying, you know, not clear about, those things kind of stumble along a little bit instead of actually being addressed in a precise manner. And there's always a way to address them in a precise manner.
Yep.
It's just that it's challenging to do that sometimes.
Yep. Yeah. Great, thanks.
This is Brian.
Hey, Brian.
So I have trouble with managing intermediate time frames. So, like, if something needs to be done now, okay. If something needs to be done 3 months from now but has a fixed date, okay. But if it's, like, 3 days from now, it disappears into some sort of black hole.
Interesting.
And
uh-huh. Yep.
Because the thing that needs to get done now kind of always pushes it aside, and either it becomes a thing that needs to get done now, which means I'm doing everything last minute and kind of stressed about it, or
uh-huh.
it just kind of disappears because it gets driven out of my attention by things that are coming in.
Right.
Checking my list. So, like, you know, as a way to cope with that, I keep a list of things, and these are my priorities, and this is what needs to get done when, and then I don't ever check it. So.
Yeah. Big,
just one more
big
way
nods here.
Avoiding off task kind of stuff and multitasking. So if there's a lag time between taking one step and then having the information I need to take the next step, you know, I start hearing these voices saying, all right, now you're not doing anything, you're being unproductive, and I want to do something, but I find that I'm not very good at multitasking, and I just get mired in something else and don't come back to what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then keeping folks updated with my progress on things.
Keeping folks updated on your progress?
Yeah. So
is that what you said?
Just checking in with folks and saying, here's where I am on this, here's where I'm going on this.
Uh-huh.
Find that.
Yep.
Definitely don't do that as often as I'd like.
Yeah. Anything else? Have we heard from everyone? Anyone not? Okay. Great. So, good. I know I was taking notes like crazy when people were talking about their challenges. So I'll just start with one overarching thing I saw as talking is the need for consistency and commitment seems huge. What I was looking at when people were talking is committing to, well, what was coming up for me is when people are leaving retreat, we talk about establishing a meditation practice if they want to, and we talk about making a goal of how long you want to meditate, and then keeping that commitment for X period of time, and then really doing that, really doing whatever that commitment is. Mm-hmm. Even if I don't want to sit that much, or I want to sit more than that, you keep that commitment, and you just watch how that goes, and then at the end of that time period, whatever it was going to be, a week, 3 weeks, a month, you check back in. So what I just saw was it'd be neat to create a organizational system, commit to it for X period of time, and then do it, no matter what.
Yeah.
And then jot down for yourself notes about what's working about it, what's not working about it. And then at the end of it, it's like, you know, so for me and Melinda, that like, no, this isn't quite the right notebook. This isn't, just use it. That's what you committed to. That's what you're using for these 3 weeks. And then, you know, but I hate it. Well, that's okay. You can hate it. Mm-hmm. But maybe if I stick with it and really experience the hating of it, in that will be the clarity of what I do want. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, at the end of the 3 weeks, I can make a new plan. But that would really, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I realize, as Jen was saying, that the whole point from conditioning's perspective of not being able to get the right notebook is that I never get the organization that would be available if I made that commitment to any old notebook.
Yeah, I'm inspired by, if I may, Dave, use you as an example, where Dave will just open up a notebook and just jot down a note.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, wow, in the middle of that piece of paper, what if you want that piece of paper for something else? So it's like that. It's like, no, this is what I'm doing, and I'm just doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jen?
Yeah, Bob.
Well, one thing, I've spent a lot of time over the past year doing this what we're talking about right now. And the one thing that I had to do a lot when I first got started was actually commit time to do this. You know, like I'm going to set aside this time every week to actually work on this rather than just letting it kind of fall by the wayside.
The system that you had to put time into the actual system.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. That to recognize that, and actually, Bob, and you and I have had this conversation in many forums, that we share a karma, I think, that says, and I bet most people have a version of this, if I'm not, like, producing something, then I'm not really working. Mm. And so, like, an organization system, that's not anything. So you can't spend time on that. Of course, there's the other side of the duality, like Alex was talking about, where spending your whole day on perfecting the list, so because then I'll be on top of it. So.
And what I found, though, is that, well, one, it's become just ingrained. I don't need to set time aside for it anymore because it just become part of my routine.
Yep.
And the other thing is that I don't have the thing that Alex was talking about, but I did see that the more I committed to it, the more I was able to kind of, there's just so much more clarity when things are, you know, there's time spent to kind of looking at it in this way. Because I found that when my inbox was like 100 emails, it just there's no chance of clarity in that.
Yeah, and that this so it occurs to me that was one of the notes that I wrote down for myself is hundreds of emails in the inbox. I don't know. Maybe other people can speak to it and that system works. I don't actually feel like that could be effective. I honestly think that's I can't see how people do that, and that. Coming up with some kind of system for deleting things, and I'll speak to what it is for me, and maybe other people, like Dave gets a gigantic volume, Bob gets a huge volume, you know, Marie has tons of email, can speak to what they do with it. But for me, it's nothing stays in the inbox because it's a to-do. If there's a to-do from it, it goes on the to-do list, and then it gets deleted. But to me, the inbox is not a place to store information.
I'll jump in on that one, Jen.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead, Alex.
No, well, I have a favorite thing that I really like to do. There's one, I make folders I use Outlook Express. I've created a bunch of folders for things to go into, and one of them is reference. And so now I can see how that can be another. A pit, but so far I've been enjoying it actually. Like anything that I need to look back at because it has information about, you know, like Bob will send me a bunch of tech stuff, information on how to do things, you know, passwords, etc. And I'll put them in that folder and so that I know that I can look there and that's where I'll find information that I know that I'm going to look for it again. And I've actually, you know, with passwords and things like that, I actually have a Word document that I've created where I put all those things into. So it's kind of like what Jen's saying, not keeping anything that you need in the inbox, but rather cutting and pasting and putting those kinds of things elsewhere.
Can I make a quick insertion on that where it sounds like that's working nicely for Alex? That's great. To me, I would, if anyone's thinking of going down that road, I'd encourage people to maybe go the route of putting things in one place, for example, having everything in My Documents, because something that I run into is, now, was that somewhere referenced in an email in Outlook, or was that in a document? But if you always know that you put things, for example, you could have in My Documents, you could have a folder that says reference or that says passwords or that says whatever, and then you have kind of one main place that you begin to look instead of, because it speaks to that, you know, as people were talking about, now, did I have that in the piece of paper place, or did I have that in the, yeah. You had something, Dave, about it.
Well, that's interesting. I did. That's a good tip for me. I actually had never thought of that, because I do what Alex does, where if it's something that doesn't need an action statement, I'm just holding on to information, I have a folders in the email, but that's actually way better, I think. It never occurred to me that I have it all in one place like that. But I was going to mention, I think probably one of the biggest things that is difficult, I've just noticed this in myself and a lot of other people over the years, is holding on to information. It's like clinging to information. And that's, you know, all those unnecessary pieces of paper all over the place, unnecessary emails in the inbox. To me, that's one of the best tricks that conditioning has to get us overwhelmed is, I might need that someday for something. And then not organizing it, but having it in a place where it's always getting my attention at something else that needs to be dealt with, even though it really doesn't. That's a big one, I think, to watch.
That is so key, Dave. And I wonder if you could say a little bit about how the art of letting it go and how you do that. Because, of course, what I project is that, well, I can't let it go because I'm not really, like, what? How do I, what if I do need it later? What if?
Well, for me, if it has to go someplace that's not going to attract my attention all the time.
Yes.
So now, I mean, on one level it is, it's got to be a willingness to let go, because I've seen this a lot in people where there really is an unwillingness to let it go, even though it's not needed.
Yeah.
But, you know, conditioning starts running a story about, well, you know, I'll tell an example on myself. So I've got a work plan that I made 3 weeks ago. You know, this 3 weeks later, I may need to reference that for some reason. I better hang on to that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, you know, they pile up and pile up and pile up. And, you know, when I look at those things, I can't see the distinctions between, all I see is a whole lot of stuff that needs to be dealt with.
Right.
So on one level, I think it's just a willingness to trust life and let go and trust that the information that I need will be there.
Yep.
And at the same time, there is information that I'm going to need that comes through. And so it's really the same as that, what you were saying a little while ago, Jen, about having a place to put it and immediately putting it there.
Yeah.
So it comes in. I have, like, let's say it's an email. I've done everything I need to do with this. I don't have, no more action steps that need to be taken. So I'm going to put it in, it has to be a good place. Like, I'm not going to just throw it in a place where I have to spend 15 minutes looking for it. Like, I'm not just going to hit delete and then figure I can find it and delete it later if I want to.
Right.
But instead, so, like, let's say, like, I've got, you know, folders in my email. And I'm going to switch over to your way of doing it, Jen. But right now I've got folders in my email. Like, I've got one for Africa. I've got one for facilitators. You know, whatever the different categories are. So it just goes in the correct folder, and then I know it's there. And then I no longer have to think about that. It is gone from my awareness. It is not something that's going to overwhelm me. I never have to relate to that again, unless the question comes up. What was that number that I needed for such and such? And I know exactly where to go to get it.
Yeah, boy, that's so good. And what I hear in that is the ambition to only ever read an email once.
Yeah.
That you interact with that, you look at that email, you interact with it right then, you deal with it.
Yeah, and there's another thing that really works for me that's an art in doing email. Most email programs have a way of categorizing things in some way. And so, like, let's say, like I've actually been under the weather for, like, a couple, 3 days. So I now have 100, I just looked at it a while ago, 100 and some emails in my inbox, which is rare. I normally don't let it get like that, but it's just mostly because I haven't had a chance to deal with it. But what I have done is I've gone through, and I can read the first 4 or 5 words of every email and know whether or not I need to deal with it right now.
Yep.
And so what I'll do is I'll go through and don't need to deal with that, but I'll categorize it.
Yep.
And, like, I'll give it, like, in the current system I'm using, you can do a little star. So I do a little star. That means I've seen it. I know I don't have to deal with it right this second, and I just go through. And then maybe there's 4 or 5 that I actually have to deal with right now. I deal with them, but I have the rest categories. So next time when I go in, I don't have to look at those. I just go look at, you know, maybe there's some new ones that have come in until the time when I have time to go through and actually see what all the new things are and deal with them. That way I'm only spending seconds on each one. I'm not wasting a whole bunch of time reading it and then having to leave it, come back later, read it again, try to figure out, you know, all that. I'm only actually dealing with it one time.
Yeah, exactly. And I think your point is so good that, you know, so I said a little while ago, it's unmanageable to have hundreds of emails, but sometimes it's completely out of your control. I mean, you have hundreds of emails just simply because you haven't been on email.
Right.
But to then have a system like that, because otherwise we just get into a conversation with conditioned mind, oh, my God, there's way too much here. There's nothing I can do about it. But I truly, for myself, when I look at it, I honest to God think that overwhelm lives in the conversation, and that's the only place it lives. And that if we can create systems for ourselves, just like you're talking about, Dave, that support, okay, so the reality right now is that I have 200 emails. All right. Given that, there's no way I'm going to deal with every single email here. Just sit down and deal with them. So instead, I'm going to do the 4 or 5, you know, words thing. Deal with the things that really have to be dealt with, star the other things. It's just so supportive to have a system like that.
Yeah, I really agree. And I think, you know, since we're, you know, spiritual folks, I think for us the number one thing to remember is the whole thing that this is about is our relationship with conditioned mind.
Yep.
That's how it seems to me. Is we are in a contest with conditioning over our attention in this, and whether or not we're going to live in a state of relaxation and well-being as we do our work, or whether or not we're going to live in overwhelm and freaking out and exhaustion and those kinds of things. And that's, and that's the only thing I think that's going on. And that's why it's so hard to be organized. That's why it's hard to get rid of the pieces of paper.
Yep.
You know, that's why all this stuff is hard, is because there's a holding on to conditioned mind. And so to me, that's the number one thing, is to, you know, in suffering, and then along the way, let's create some organizational stuff that'll help us to do that.
Definitely. And, it, you know, what to me, when we turn that corner of, gosh, what I actually want is to have my attention here in the present moment, there's a huge willingness that springs from that to try whatever, to try. You know, we don't so easily get talked into the thing of, like, going back over emails, going back, whatever.
Oh,
or
no.
Talked into the perfectionism thing, you know, of whatever our version of it is.
Yeah, to try, and then also to see. I think, you know, as we let go, then the clarity comes there. It's like, oh, you know what? I don't have to be doing this. I'm just completely wasting time. This is all this is doing is enabling conditioning to overwhelm me.
Yeah.
Ah, here's another way. I could put a red flag on that, and then it is gone from my awareness, and won't stress me out until it's time to deal with it. You know, or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's another. Well, you know what? I'm gonna just take a breath here and see if other people are wanting to jump into the conversation.
Jen, this is Penny.
Yeah, Penny.
I've got a really in email organization because, you know, we've been stuck with dial-up for about 2 months. And so getting anything to come in is really painful. So if I go to webmail first, the emails come in faster. And so I have to go through a process of dealing with the webmail really fast and getting rid of everything that doesn't absolutely need to come through my regular email, because email first, it just takes forever. So all those things that I used to say, well, I'll get to this later, I can't do anymore.
Huh. Wow.
So I really do deal with it right. I mean, it's kind of what people have been saying, deal with it right then.
Yeah.
And if I respond at all, I respond. If it absolutely must be something that I hold on to for a minute and respond to later, that's what goes to my regular email. But I typically get anywhere from 30 to 50 emails a day. And I used to end up saving about 90% of those, thinking, well, I'll get to that or I'll respond to that. And now, of those emails, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 go on into my email box, and all the rest I deal with right then.
Wow, that's a blessing, huh?
Yeah. It has been a blessing. Yeah, I'm willing for this period of blessing to end, which it will shortly. But it's been a really, really good learning experience. I mean, technology has just made it impossible to do it the way I used to do it.
Yeah, that's great.
So
I'll jump in then, another thing to me that I'm seeing about all of it is that there's always a next step with something. There's always a next step. And that's been one of the biggest things that I've seen to train myself, is what is the next step with this? And that, to me, goes back to when Dave was saying letting things go. That's what helps me let them go, is that I look at it and I go, what's the next step with this? And then that next step goes wherever it goes. I take the next step, or the next step goes on a to-do list. But that's the thing that allows me to freely delete things, or, you know, throw that little piece of paper away, or... And the next step might even be, okay, this seems like a great idea for Africa. I have no idea what to do with it. So I'm going to, you know, put it in my system in 6 weeks' time. I'm going to look back at that and see if anything new has occurred to me about it. But it seems like always finding the concrete next step is a good way to let things go.
I've been looking at something that seemed to come up for a number of us, which is, I don't know how to get things in their priority. And it just feels like that might even be a longer conversation at some point, because as I was looking at it for myself, I realized some of that conversation can be about fear of losing something, or of not doing something in the timely way it needs to be done. And I just wonder if there might be a way to look at prioritizing generally that would make it less stressful. And if anybody has any thoughts about that, I'd love to hear them.
Well, I got thoughts. I don't know if this speaks really to what Melinda was saying, but it came up for me when people were talking about, you know, what do I do when I've got this list of things to do for today and then all this other stuff happens in a day, mm-hmm. is to be kind of like bulldogish about what my plan is for the day, and knowing that there needs to be time in there for things that came up today that really need to be addressed today, but I didn't realize they would be. But, you know, no, I'm not going to look at, this is why I love having the email only come in on send and receive, not like it's constantly coming into the inbox. So I'm not going to turn my attention to whatever happens to have come along the pike until 11:30. And then at 11:30, I'm going to turn my attention to that. And if that takes until lunch, okay, that takes until lunch. If there were only, you know, a couple little things that came in like that, then great. I can go back to whatever I was working on. But it seems like being kind of, pretty committed to whatever my schedule was, it seems like a big piece of that. I also heard that in what people were saying of, you know, so there are these big projects that happen or that I want to have happen. They're on my list, but they never do. And scheduling in those times, both chunking those things down, what are the baby steps that need to happen for those big things to happen? Because there's always a next little step. And doing that, you know, scheduling time for that. I know one thing I picked up from Jan Letender is, so having a master to-do list of just kind of everything that's out there, and then each Sunday or whenever people do it, looking at, okay, what of that comes off and goes on to this week's list? And then each day you can look at what of that goes on to the today list. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, what of that didn't get done and moves to tomorrow. So you're kind of always in conversation with that mm-hmm. that stuff, but in an effective way, not in a, oh, God, what's this thing, you know, because you've only pulled off the things off the big list that really, really are going to happen this week.
I'll jump in on that.
Great. Dave.
But that's so my experience too. That I got that from Jan Letender too. That really, really helps. Just to have a master list. Well, to have it all broken down like that. So I have everything that I'm aware of, and then like on Monday, looking at that, okay, what's important, and I make sure that. So then it's another form of just being able to let it go. So here's what I know is important this week. I can let the whole rest of the shmuel go, so it's not attracting my attention all the time. And then day by day, looking at that weekly list. That just seems like a really good way to go. And then I think another thing you were saying, Jen, is about scheduling. And this is something that's actually, for me, would be helpful on a group organizational level, is having a way to do this for me. But it really helps to have a chunk of time when it is devoted to whatever the quadrant is, quadrant four or whatever,
mm-hmm.
not important but not urgent or whatever that is.
Right.
Like we used to have this day that would be where we, you know, we could just do that. It was just a project day. Where we put aside email or and just focus on these things that get backburnered. So, but anyway, that kind of thing is really helpful too, like a weekly schedule of, you know, here's when I'm doing, kind of keeping up with daily business. Here's when I'm not doing that, but instead focusing on projects or whatever. That way it kind of provides a structure for making sure all the needs get met instead of just, you know, one subpersonality's needs.
That's a really good way of looking at it, that there are different needs. And to really, because actually that I thought of that before I thought of the radio show talking about scheduling the time for the sewer. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And sticking to that commitment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think we all have dominant subpersonalities. So, you know, I mean, I got somebody who really wants to keep up because, you know, he wants to be seen like he's doing a good job and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so if he's the only one who's got the ball, then, you know, he'll always do the urgent, whatever quadrant that is, you know, urgent now stuff,
mm-hmm.
but he won't really particularly pay any attention to all the other stuff. So
yeah,
need some
exactly.
support for not being him all the time.
Yep. Yeah. And then I just wanted to underline the thing you said about the time that
for a while that we had where we were setting aside time, especially you and I were doing it, we were calling them motor days,
mm-hmm.
just motor through things. And a big piece of that was the commitment to setting aside everything else. So in this case, we would tag team for each other. So I would run interference for whatever was going on for you, or you would run interference for me. And so, I mean, everyone would have their version of that. So whether it's you don't answer the phone, you put your cell phone away, you whatever it is, but you create whatever span of time it's going to be for you to just motor through.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Jen, this is Penny. I was just saying something in what people were saying, that one of the things I presented as an organizational problem for me is when I sort of a long-term, ongoing, big-picture commitment or project, and how that tends to get backburnered with more immediate projects.
Uh-huh.
And so the first thing I was just noticing is that it really does help for me to say, this period of time on this particular day, I'm working on that big project. It doesn't matter what other immediate projects there are.
Yep.
And what I was just seeing in for myself is that part of why it's hard to do that is that so often the immediate projects are clear. You know,
yep.
what I have to do right in an immediate thing is kind of specific and definite, and I got my mind around it, and I
yep.
get it. And
yep.
the big project is sort of a big idea.
Yep.
And so it's so easy to just keep it at the level of big idea.
Yep.
And not know how to break it down into that smaller piece that I can do. But if I set aside the time to do it, then I
yeah.
have to address it in some way.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Hey, Jen.
Yeah.
I'm just really appreciating how this is the conversation is linking all this to conditioning's sort of battle for our attention, and I'm seeing that putting time into devising the system the way Bob was talking about, he just did, you know, you just built that time into the day. It seems that is well, for me anyway, the place to start right now, because what, and I'm seeing this in all different areas, that there's the conditioning co-opts the language, and is, I see now it's been given me the story that I'm really being in the moment and really being in the present by just dealing with what's coming in now.
Mm.
And so using that language to kind of trick me into seeing that I'm sitting on this huge pile of stuff that's getting ignored because I'm being in the moment. So I'm just really appreciating that tip to really build in time to devise the system that'll help take care of all that.
Yeah, that's great. That's really neat. It reminds me too of when I think it was when Amy was talking I about the thing of, you know, she had her eye on Cameron's notebook, and I just wrote a note to myself saying, you know, just buy her or him, depending on who you are, what she wants, you know, what she needs. Like, I just pictured the monks taking an outing to Staples, you know, and just kind of letting people kind of experiment with, okay, this is what I feel like, you know, that would really work for me. And just finding the tool that feels like it's, I also thought of it when people were talking about, you know, I don't want to open the calendar. Oh, I can still relate to that. And I just thought, oh God, what if the calendar were just filled with reassurances and all
mm-hmm.
kinds of things that made me want to open it up and be there. And it's a nice place for this person to be.
Mm-hmm.
Jen, this is Marie.
Hey, Marie.
I wanted to share something that, you know, I'm really getting out of the call is, you know, to really look at, you know, always with process, how it's never about what it says it's about.
Yeah.
You know, like holding on to emails. I can see that, you know, because it's like it's telling me that it's trying to make sure I don't drop anything.
Right. Like,
you know, when really it's just like with pitches, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, what it's really doing is overwhelming me or
yeah,
you know, blasting me with a lot of information, so I will drop something through the cracks.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. It's always doing exactly the opposite of what it says it's supposedly doing for us.
Yeah, and so I was just thinking, you know, like on a big level, to keep looking at that, you know, even like with the buying the different notebooks, because I relate
mm-hmm.
to that one too. You know, that process of trying to find the right organization system is not really about organization. It's about
no.
a process.
It's about
alive.
Dissatisfaction. Yep.
And so it feels like that would be just a really good place to look all the time.
Yep. Yeah.
And what am I telling myself why I'm doing this, and what's really the result of doing it that
yeah.
way?
What's the result exactly? Look to what I get. Is this leading
yeah.
me to organization or away?
Yeah. It feels like a good lens to constantly look through.
Yeah, it really does. So I'm aware that we're coming to the end of our time. And I think, to me, this is a to be continued. Do people agree?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really good topic. Alex said we haven't dealt with paper. We have, though. It's the same thing as email. Yeah, you just put it on the to-do list and throw it away. Yeah. But anything else that people really, anything that hasn't been said that we really want to say before we end for today?
Just one really quick thing about I've through the years being here at the monastery, I've noticed that it is so true that the system is the thing that is the anchor, that's the foundation. I mean, you could say like a parallel to practice. You know, it's like and it's so funny with conditioning, it's the first thing to go. With conditioning, it's like scramble to urgency. Mm-hmm. Urgency is the master. And so I'm just really appreciating this all.
I think it's just, this is Cameron, I think it's just really wonderful to really get clear on how there is this whole content thing, you know, and there is the organizational skills and stuff, and yet the process underneath it, if I am listening to conditioning, then it doesn't matter what all systems I put in place, they're not going to ever work. So, I mean, it's just really neat to look at it this way and how, what do you get out of what happens and where that's coming from. So thanks, everybody. I learned a lot today.
Yeah, it was way therapeutic. Yeah. Okay, so board members, if people would stay on the call, we've got a little bit of board business to do. And other folks who are not on the official board, thanks for joining us. And I guess to be continued, we'll email people when we have the next segment going. So... let's see, what I wanted to look at with the board is just check in on the committee system. And a few, you know, we don't have a ton of time, we've got 30 minutes, so a few things about that. I'd like to prioritize the things that feel like will help the committees run smoothly while I'm away. So not content level things, but more process, how it's going. And maybe to check in with people who feel like they really, especially people maybe who are captaining a committee who feel like they really either really get it, they really feel like they're on track and it's working well, and maybe sort of just like we just did, could share tips about that. Also hear from captains who feel like they might be struggling or they're not sure. And then to hear from anyone about what feels like, it's working or where it feels like we could use some attention like that. So I have some specific ideas, but I thought I would just throw it out generally first to see if people want to jump in.
This is Claire.
Claire.
So I'm feeling that the committee system is working from the point of view that it's great to have a team of people looking at these things and working together on these things.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And for me, as a captain, what I notice is that when we're churning through things by emailing and using Dropbox to do things, that does take a lot more time than if we could get together on a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm remembering the Bridgewalk committee meeting that we had this week, and it just seemed like we just really got through so much things.
Thank you for saying that. That was one of the big motivations to want to check in about this, because I was talking to Marie earlier this week and realizing that for some people, this committee system has greatly increased the volume of email that they're dealing with on a daily basis, and that breaks my heart. So that's a good point, Claire. And might there be some room for committees to get on the phone and knock through some stuff? Now, I guess we'd have to be really careful with that, because somehow I think on the phone there might be a greater tendency to want to head towards making decisions, maybe even them by email, but maybe not. I mean, if
if people were really mindful of keeping to the same spirit and same content that would be going through the email system via committees, that basically you're just getting on the phone and knocking through that, might that work, especially if everyone on the committee is taking responsibility for being flagged by, I don't think we want to make that decision here. Maybe talk about it and come up with a proposal here, but not make a decision here. People have opinions on that?
Oh, I think that sounds like the next level of practice for me is so I think that's a fabulous idea. Because just in the fundraising committee, we've been doing some phone calls, and I've just noticed keeping the privileged environment on email and keeping it on the phone calls, it just feels like the phone calls is bumping it up a notch in terms of practice. And so mm-hmm. I'm really loving watching that. And then to underline the other point, that what really helps facilitate that is that I project everyone on that team is taking 100% responsibility 100% of the time. You know, so we're all really owning it, and that helps. That helps kind of keep that a practice.
Yeah, that's great. So you feel like it's working in the little experience you're having with it.
Yeah, and I agree that phone calls, we can knock a whole lot out.
Mm-hmm.
This is Claire.
Uh-huh.
I think the way I see a phone call working, if there's a clearly defined agenda ahead of time, and folks do their homework beforehand about issues that need addressing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. it's not a place to have a conversation about things per se, but really to just like knock through a list of things that have already in the awareness of the committee. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a good point. So it's not like we're getting on the call and kind of what do you think? Well, I think this, and you think that, and he thinks that. It's more just, okay, we've got this agenda of things. We get on the call. We work through that agenda. We hand out to-dos based, we do the next steps, and then off we go.
Yeah.
Hey, Jen.
Yeah, Dave.
Just to mention a couple of things we've run into historically with this for people to be aware of. One is the thing you mentioned about making decisions. There's a way. We have vast experience of this at the monastery, where a group of people get together intending to be as conscious as they possibly can be and end up sort of sliding off into some kind of group decision-making process that begins to exclude the necessary communication and ends up in a hard place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that, that I think would need to be watched out for. And the other thing, there's probably others, but the two things that came up for me, the second is there's a way when we're doing a group process that people forget about taking full responsibility on their own as individuals.
Mm.
And it can slide into, instead of having, it slide into four or five people all doing one person's job.
Uh-huh, right.
And it's something that can start off being really efficient, becomes really inefficient. And we've seen that a lot in history too.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, Dave. Can you think of a concrete example that would illustrate that for people?
Sure. So let's see, I'm trying to think of an example that doesn't really involve anything real.
Well, I just thought of one.
Okay.
See if this is what you're talking about. So let's say we're creating a curriculum for a retreat,
mm-hmm.
and I say that I'm going to be the point person for that. I'm going to take responsibility for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys are all on my committee, and then I bring you together. And at first I'm going, so here's what I'm thinking. We'll do this, 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 and this. And then you guys all just get to say, yeah, that sounds good, not sure about that, and I take it
uh-huh.
back. And then over time I slide into, well, I'm not really sure about what, so what do you think I should, what should be the next thing, do you think?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the bottom line is, at least from my point of view, there shouldn't be any decisions being made. Now, I'm not sure if that applies exactly to where we are. You'd have to say, or somebody else has to say, because maybe that is kind of the point, but I'm not sure. But it seems like if we slide into a place where there's a group of people making decisions about things, we're really in a lot of danger of losing our footing.
Yeah, for sure.
But instead, if it's you know, everyone has clear responsibilities, and it's a place to exchange information about that. Or
yeah.
even to, like you, like what you said was just perfect. So you're bringing your ideas for the curriculum. I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. Your committee's saying, yep, yep, yep. And on that one, you say, I'm not sure about that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't launch from that into, okay, how are we going to fix that?
Right.
Instead, oh, I can see what you mean, that doesn't really work. Okay, I'll get back to you on that.
Yep.
That way, it leaves you in a place of fully taking responsibility and doesn't, you know, I always call it the group mush. You know, it avoids sliding into the group mush where we're all making decisions at the same time. And historically, what happens is we make really bad decisions.
Right. Right.
It's just really hard to be clear in that kind of setting. So.
So.
Yeah.
I think we're all clear that we're not, the committees aren't making any decisions, period. But the danger is making unseen decisions, things we don't realize are decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Or B, the other danger is bringing it back to, let's say it's something Dave's working on. So the committee brings something back to Dave, runs it by Dave with incomplete information.
Exactly. Yeah.
So then Dave makes a decision, agrees with them based on incomplete information.
Yeah, that has happened more times than I could count in our history.
Yeah. Now, the good news is it won't work.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the good news. The bad news is it can sometimes take a long time not to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that fun when we finally get to the brick wall that we get to.
Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily so that it will happen. It's just something to pay attention to.
Oh, exactly.
You know, it seems so far that as far as I can tell, I don't feel like it is happening. It feels like what the committees are doing. I mean, I'm particularly thinking about the class, the email class.
Oh,
yeah. We've got a committee working on that. That feels like it's really working because from what I can see, the committee is getting together. They're brainstorming. They're coming up with a thing, and that seems really good. But then nothing happens without us knowing about it, and it seems. I think partly because of the simplicity of the class, I guess, but it doesn't seem like there could be any information that we don't have, really.
No, it's airtight, kind of. That's an airtight
mm-hmm.
example.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is Marie.
Yeah, Marie.
This is really helpful, you know, because to me it seems like it's important there kind of be champions of things and
yeah.
it not be just nebulous group taking responsibility. Things that
yep.
are really important. And but I was looking at the phone call thing because I'm looking at like working on things by going in Dropbox and putting your little feedback and then somebody else puts their feedback. And I've noticed this for a long time with the review blog.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not a good place to really work out any kind of unusual thing. Like, I'll notice sometimes, this is a kind of different example, but in the review blog, somebody will ask a question.
Right, I know. And then it's like, oh, geez, now what?
Yeah, and there's no way for it really to get addressed without starting an email conversation or some other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's why, some days, because I think, should I say that? But then I know it's going to introduce a whole other conversation needed. Besides
mm-hmm.
the Dropbox conversation. And so in some places, I think the phone calls are more effective,
yeah.
especially like maybe in the bridge walk planning.
And that could be what the phone calls are for, where if something, we do whatever we can by email, and something arises that's not simple, it goes on that list. It goes on the phone
yeah.
call list.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
Jen,
I was just going to say that's where the phone calls seem like they would be really helpful. Yeah.
Dave.
Well, I was just saying that, you know, the thing that might address this, what I look at with this, is to have a clear champion for the committee.
Uh-huh.
Kind of in the way that we're setting it up for the facilitators. That we're working on that. It's we have somebody or maybe even two somebodies who's going to be a clear champion for like a planning committee. And that person's job is to hold the space for the committee and to, you know, make sure the communication happens and like that. But to have a clear facilitator for the committee, that could really help with the process part of it, possibly.
And as far as I know, that's the case for every committee. Am I right in that?
That's my understanding.
Like, who's the champion for the class committee?
Claire.
Is it Claire? Okay.
I mean, I think all that means is that's the person who ultimately makes sure that something keeps moving. That's the person, I mean, I don't know, I'm not in on that particular process, but who, you know, holds the agenda, who, like that.
Mm-hmm. Good.
But aren't I thought I was the champion for the fundraising committee. Is that what you thought, Jen? Is that what you had?
Yes. I just thought, maybe I'm wrong, I just thought for in the case of the class that Claire was taking the lead on that, but maybe it's you, Rebecca.
No, it does seem, I think Claire is taking the lead on keeping us on track with the class, but I just wanted to clarify if there's a distinction between that and the committee.
Okay, yeah. I guess it's a good point that with every project, you know, every, how do you call it, endeavor that we're in, someone is the champion for it.
Yeah, you know, this is Marie, and I wasn't sure I if it was Claire or Rebecca in that group that was actually the champion.
In
and
the
I had,
email
in
class
the fun,
or the fundraising everywhere?
In the
I mean,
email
the fun,
class.
Fundraising.
In the email class. Well, that's what we're
okay.
mostly doing right now. I mean, it
okay.
seems like it's working really well, but I had brought up that I wanted to look at that because what makes me a little nervous about it is then I don't know – who's tracking everything?
Yeah, well, that's...
Are we going to forget something?
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good then, because I think, you know, everyone who's saying it is right. There has to be a person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure it can be two people, really.
Yeah, I think you start losing details if you're not careful, if it's more than one person, even though it can work in a lot of other ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then yeah. I was also having an experience myself on that. I mean, I think it's going really well, but then I started worrying, well, should I be tracking everything, you know, so that we don't drop something, you know, how
well,
much?
And then we get into the, okay, so we're tripling our work because all three of
right.
us are tracking everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's a new system, and those are really good questions to look
they
at.
They really are. They really are. Yep.
Yeah, and one thing I'm saying around that is that, let's see, well, there's some committees I'm not on, like, you know, the one that's doing the email class, and it leaves me, I'm wondering whether one of should I be on the committee, or if there's some other way I can, like, know what's going on.
Yeah, well, it speaks to the thing Dave was talking about in the organizational challenges, is how to make sure the right people have the information they need.
Yeah.
I can't imagine you being on that committee. I mean, they're doing
a
lot of work. Like, they're going back and forth with me and Dave on orchestrating every class and doing different drafts of the classes, and I just can't imagine you being on that committee. But I'm aware that you need a lot of information around it. So, I mean, it seems like it could just be a really good practice for whoever's the champion to be saying, okay, so heads up, Bob, class 5 is in the works. You know, we'll let you know as soon as it comes through or whatever.
Right, yeah, because I think I wasn't sure whether I was just not being helpful in the past couple of weeks of, like, I've just been kind of guessing, well, I think there's an email that might be going today, so I better ask. But,
right.
You know, there's probably a better way to do that.
In this case, I think the committee's all over it, but I can't, it never hurts my feelings, I don't know about other people, for someone to say, hey, it seems like there should be a class coming through. Is that happening?
This is Claire. This is an interesting conversation because, I was clear that I was sort of overseeing the fundraising everywhere before we set up the committees. And then, you know, Rebecca's in charge of the fundraising everywhere. And I haven't been clear that I've been in overseeing other champion of the email class.
So maybe you've just been doing a really good job tracking the details and everyone thought you were.
I wasn't clear if it was me or Rebecca or if... Or Maria, we were all. I've had the feeling that we've all been doing it together, but I can see how it would have been helpful, you know, for me to know, hey, you know, this is really like, you know, your.
Or not, or maybe it's or Rebecca has it, and so you can let some stuff go.
Right.
And I don't want to, you know, in the particular content, A, it's almost over, and B, you know, maybe you the three of you could work that out for the rest of the time that we have. But the process point that it underlines is that we always need to know at the outset. right. what the, yeah, who the champion
who's
is. Yeah.
The other thing.
Go ahead, Mary.
The other thing I wanted to mention is what Bob was saying is, you know, being accustomed to being on the board where we pretty much everything was running through the same system, and so I sort of knew anything that I was doing, I sort of knew who else was working on it,
mm-hmm.
and that it was out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels a little, you know, I feel a little uncertain sometimes what, you know, what's going on maybe or what's out there. And like right now, what's come up is just a little content is like on the Modo things. I feel like a lot of different people have been doing that, and so I don't feel very clued in on the things we're sending to the Modos. And we've got, you know, we've got some those monastery group recordings, and something needs to happen with those. And it just feels like right now it's a place where we're kind of figuring out how that works.
Yeah, maybe I'm out of the loop, too, because when you say all that stuff that's going to Modos, I'm not sure what you mean. But
well, I mean, you know, like there's cards, there was an email, there was, I don't know. It's like I don't know how we're telling them about the groups that I just don't know.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like I was using that more as an example. It's just like that's been happening somewhere else.
Uh-huh, yeah,
now
you're not on that committee.
That needs to go to them.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to get it in the right place and make sure it originates with the people that are working with the Modos now. And it's just kind of an example of where some things, I'm kind of uncertain exactly where they live right now and where to pick them up for publicity and all.
Yeah, is that what you're saying? Because that's what I think I'm getting from it, is that where does one committee begin and another one end? So is this part of publicity? Is this part of Modo? You know, is the publicity team looking out for all the publicity for everything? Modos, keep it simple, you know, fundraising everywhere, blah, blah.
Yeah, and things that probably in the past I would have just taken and moved it forward to go out to the Sangha or the Modos. I think now it needs to go to the Modo committee and then maybe then to publicity and then, you know, it's just routing things right now, I think, is a new experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it seems like it's going to be a real kind of work in progress as we go. Mm-hmm. And a lot of communication between, especially committee heads, having that heads up of, okay, mm-hmm. are there other people who need to know about what we're working on? So, let's see, Bob, I can't remember what was the email that I wrote back to you the other day and said this is such a great example of great communication. Was that the phone system or was it the?
No, it was the shopping cart, I think.
Shopping cart, okay. Had that needed to go through a committee or was that just you?
No, that went through the website team committee.
Okay. Could you say a little bit about that? Because that, to me, was just, it worked. Something, whatever you guys did back there, that really worked.
Well, I think one of the reasons it may have worked is that it's more of a discrete thing. It wasn't like, you know, it's like, it's something basically to kind of give me guidance on how to move forward and something I'm working on rather than, you know, put out an email class, which is, you know, hundreds of pieces or thousands.
Right.
But essentially, I tried to get clear as much as I could on, you know, what I needed to figure out whether to move forward on the shopping cart and
mm-hmm.
and then started to communicate with the website team about, tried to lay that out as clearly as possible. And there was some conversation just to really help me get more clear about what the different issues were. And then finally coming back to the team, all this through email, and saying, you know, does it feel like there's enough to bring this to the next level? And one thing I saw is that we didn't need to solve every problem in the committee.
Right.
We didn't even need to necessarily have a recommendation for each thing.
Right. And at the same time, you didn't I didn't feel like you were asking me for to figure it out when you sent it on to me. I mean,
right.
One of the things I think I just threw back to the committee, like, yeah, great. I mean, either way, you know, as long as it's, I can't remember what the criteria was, but it's not going to, you know, end up with a lot more work.
Right, right.
So what I hear in that is that you, it's like Claire was talking about the other a few minutes ago, everyone doing their homework. So you got really clear on what you were clear about and what you weren't clear about.
Mm-hmm.
And then you brought it to your committee. And then it sounds like the committee served exactly the function you want them to serve, which is that they helped you get as clear, you know, they helped sharpen areas where you could get clear. And then it went on to the next level.
Yeah, and for me, like, I think that some of my initial emails to the committee were kind of following that, you know, what I need it kind of thing.
Yep.
And, you know,
mm-hmm.
that has always been really helpful for me to, like, realize, you know, one, where I'm not clear, and two, even if I am clear, where I'm not being clear in my communication.
Yeah, yep. So anyone in any of their experiences with the committee have an example of something like it feels like it's bogging down and maybe an insight you've had about it?
I can just say none of the committees I'm on have felt bogged down. They felt really smooth.
Okay. What about the volume of email, Marie? How's that?
Oh yeah, the volume of email. Yeah, that's been hard with the combination of the email class and the bridge walk committee.
Uh-huh. But and are you seeing any having any insights as you go through it about well, maybe we don't need to be looking at this level of detail, or I don't know.
I guess the only insight I had is what was brought up earlier about phone calls, and Claire brought that up, you know, that phone calls might be more effective with some of the bridge walk stuff.
Uh-huh, just be able to knock through it. Mm-hmm.
And I guess I've kind of accepted that the email class, because I know during the PPP program it was a lot the same with email.
Yeah.
And it just seems to be a special case right now, so I was in acceptance of that.
Yeah, that's always a good way to go.
Not seeing it as a big problem. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the email class does seem like, we all keep saying this, those of us who are working on it, that it's a huge investment, but it seems really worth it. There's some really great training going on with it.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Jan?
Oh.
Yes, uh-huh.
Can I jump in, Jen?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
One thing I wonder about all that email is it kind of takes me back to that in a different way to the same thing I mentioned a while ago. I wonder if people feel like in those committees there's still room for independent action, because I could imagine, for example, if people felt like everything needed to be discussed or before it got, I don't know exactly. See, I'm not in on it, so I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But I can just imagine something like that causing an ungodly amount of email. If suddenly it's not, you know, because the way it was before is I look to see what needs to happen, and then I just act. So that might be sending an email to you about whatever it is or whatever needs to happen. If it feels like every aspect of it needs to go through the committee, instead of what I got from the example you talked about with Bob is, you know, Bob was taking full responsibility for that.
Mm-hmm.
And he used his committee as a support rather than kind of as like they're all doing the same job.
Right, right.
So I don't know. I could easily see that being something that would cause an ungodly amount of unnecessary email.
So like what I just thought of, Dave, is like, so you know, someone's, I don't know, on a committee and they need to check in with Dave. And so they go to their committee and say, how do people feel about me asking Dave about such and such?
That would be a perfect example. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's a step. That's like the other side of duality. You know, that's
uh-huh.
a step way beyond, I think, what we need to do in the committee. Because we still need to be able to stand on our own 2 feet and look to center and see what we need to do.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's exactly the way we're talking about it. But we still need to be free to take full responsibility without having to have every single little detail of it looked at with everybody.
Yeah.
This is Claire. that's really very helpful for me to hear, because I've been in the place of that everything gets looked at by the whole committee and then gets sent to Jen. So what I'm hearing is that, like, I'm kind of taking responsibility for the project and turning to my committee if I need more clarity on things, and that there may be some things that I would take straight to Dave and Jen without going through the committee.
Definitely could be. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, if I could speak to that, I think that's two sides of duality right there.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's about, I don't know how to say it exactly. You know, everyone has to stay informed. It's not like, because, I mean, this is exactly what I said a minute ago, so I think I maybe said it inaccurately, but like one side of duality is, you know, this is mine, and I'm just using these guys as a backup. The other side of duality is, this is ours, and, you know, I can't move without everybody agreeing to it. But there's a middle way in there where it's like I'm taking full responsibility, and but everyone's staying informed. Like, I could imagine, in, like, an example you were using a minute ago, Jen. So such and such person, okay, now it's time to do this. And so maybe, and the thing to do is to email Dave about it. So I'll email Dave, but I'll copy everybody on my committee.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good one.
I don't know if that fits kind of within that, but there's got to be a way to be able to move.
Yeah.
You know, it's the old taking responsibility without taking control. You know, it's a real, just a huge practice place right there in the middle. How to find that middle way right there.
Yeah.
Jen, this is Rebecca. Can I get in on this?
Sure.
So what I'm seeing about that is that it seems to really start with the step taking assignments, sort of, like on the committee. For example, this Trixie thing, you know, somebody on the fundraising committee has taken that assignment to look into that and work on that, and then somebody else is going to do something, and, you know, so it's like we all have our things that we're working on,
mm-hmm.
and then we back together, maybe on a call or whatever, boom, 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 knock it out. What do you see about this? What do you see about this? And then this is the part where I'm not so sure about, but then it seems like we kind of speak with one voice to you and Dave, so that you're not really having to look at everything from everyone individually, but rather you can look at, okay, the fundraising committee is looking at this, 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 and this.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not having to get emails from necessarily all of us all the time about everything,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that you've worked out some of the kinks ahead of time.
Yeah, but it's not the same as all of us doing everything together, but it is sort of like we're all speaking as one person when we take it to you. And now, does that feel like a middle way, or...?
One distinction that occurs to me that may or may not be helpful is that we might look at the difference between what's on a policy level and what's on a mechanical level. So it seems like let's say I'm a committee member and my I've got some chunk of some project that I'm working on. When I get to something that's on a policy level, hey, here's how we're going to handle such and such, or let's get such and such a person to come in to be our entertainment for the bridge walk or whatever it might be. I'm going to want to get my input from the committee before I take that to Jen or Dave, because, you know, that's where it's good to have lots of input. Because somebody might say, you know what, I'm not sure that's going to work because of whatever. And then, you know, that really will help us formulate a real good plan that a lot of people have looked at, which I think is kind of the whole point of the committee system, is it's just cutting out a lot of that pre-work before it gets to Jen or Dave.
Mm-hmm.
That's really different from mechanical level where, so let's say, okay, we've agreed, you know, let's get so-and-so to be our entertainment. Cool. Now, there's these various steps that are going to need to be taken in order to make that happen. So I don't need my committees to look at the email that I send to Jen or Dave about that all those kind of mechanical steps, because I know we're in agreement in concept, and so now I can just be, I know how to use the tools and the organization and the way the organization's set up to kind of make things happen. So now I'm just in there doing my job.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. And the question that comes up on the heels of that is, and this just may be my karma kicking in, but I kind of thought that part of the reason for the committees was to decrease the number of emails that y'all are, you and Jen are having to deal with. And I don't know, does that seem like that does that?
Oh,
it
I think
sure does.
Sure.
Okay. Well, that's
because I don't think, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're not talking about something different than what we've got in place right now with the committee system. So it's not like more things are going to come to us. It's just there may be a lower volume of email within the committee.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only thing I'm trying to address, because it feels like it's working on our end, because the committees are getting together. They're doing that pre-look. They're looking on the policy level. They're coming up with something to present, and it presents it with all the information. So all you and I have to do is say, hey, great idea, rather than us having to be in all the nitty-gritty and all the decision-making process.
So let me throw this out and see if people think this fits. So Marie and I were talking earlier in the week, and Marie was saying, you know, I've had so much going on just the day-to-day level that I don't really feel like I've had a chance to really put any system in place to use my committee. And what she and I were talking about was, well, I mean, do you really need a whole system? But that was another conversation. But the point that I was making was, anytime you need something, go to your committee. So I think really that the committee is just a pre-step. So I'm working along. So let's say I'm Marie. I'm working on publicity, and I just do my publicity thing, And anytime that I would either A, have taken something to the board, or B, have taken something to Jen or Dave, I first go to my committee. That's kind of all we're doing.
Yeah, that seems right. And then kind of along with the policy thing, so we may have already decided, like, how we do publicity, you know, whatever. And
right.
So then it's just, you know, you're just going along doing what you normally do, but then you get to a place where, you know what, I don't know how to deal with this, or this is different, or there's a new thing here. Okay, now it's time to go to my committee. But
exactly.
I don't have to go to my committee with everything that we already know how to do all this stuff. So don't have to deal with that. But just with these new things it's kind of like we're building something, and every time we take a step forward that's different, okay, now it's a good time to get group consensus.
Oh, that's a good image for it. So like, okay, so we're building something. I don't have to stop and ask you every time I'm going to nail this next 2x4 in here. We know that they're every 16 inches above, but then I get to this place where it's like, ooh, this one's different somehow. Then we come back.
Yeah, we're getting ready to put on the second story. Okay, this is going to take a little bit of thought.
Yeah.
That's really helpful.
Well, what I'm hearing is that it's kind of like a sounding board. It's like everybody else is where I'm unclear about how it is that we do things. We get feedback on it, and it reminds me of the ad, the Sangha Market ad, you know, where people actually gave me a list of comments about it, and then I just incorporated it all, and then I ran it by again, and then it was it, and then there off it goes. So it's like it didn't feel like there were a lot of different steps in all of that, you know, or a whole lot more communication than necessary.
Yeah, exactly. Marie, did you have something?
I don't think so.
You're really, really hard to hear, Marie. I think you're talking, but or maybe you're not.
See, Marie said she didn't have anything else to add right now.
Oh, she didn't. Thank you for the translation.
Yeah, can you hear me now, Jen?
Yeah, that's much better.
Yeah, I don't. If I had something, it lay off.
Okay, it might have been someone else. I don't know. Was there someone else back there? Okay. Dave, does what I laid out seem like, does that fit for you in how you see it?
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Well, just the basically that I go to my committee in place of where I would have gone either to the board or to Jen or Dave.
Very much so. I think that's a really clear way of stating it.
Because we're all fairly used to what, you know, what we used to do there.
Mm-hmm.
And that
That's a good way of thinking about it, because and that makes it really clear. It's not anything different.
Right.
Just the place we're going to for guidance is different. We go to the committee first before we take it to Jen or Dave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the case of the bridge walk, you know, Claire as the champion has an extra added factor, which is that she's never done that before. And so a lot of it is she just plain needs information. So it seems to me she could take her questions to the committee of just like, hey, does anyone have information? You know, I'm not sure about this.
piece? Does anyone know that piece? Nope. Okay. We go to Jen. We ask her. Does anyone know about this piece? Nope. Okay. Like that.
What's the precedent here?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, it could even be if she feels like either she has an idea of what she thinks would be good to do there or fun or interesting or whatever, she could say, hey, this is what I'm thinking here. Does this seem like it works? Goes to the committee comments, and then on it goes to me. All right, so is that someone else?
I was just saying, seems right to me.
Yeah, okay. So we're at the end of our time. Anything else on this topic that feels like, I mean, again, I think it's a to be continued, just if only because we want to keep checking in on how's it going now, how's it going now. But I really think it's really a neat system on many, many levels. So a lot of gratitude for people for being willing to jump in there and work with it. All right. We all set for now?
Yep.
All right. Thanks, everyone. That was really fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, all.
Good night.
Bye-bye.